Today we celebrate a wonderful feast, and a feast of a saint that is a one to whom most of us owe something. In that regard, I offer the Mass today in thanksgiving to this great saint, this Thaumaturgus of the Franciscan Order, St. Anthony of Padua, who really is St. Anthony of Lisbon, where he was born and where he was raised. St. Anthony was from a noble family, and he became one of the canons of the Cathedral of Lisbon. And it was in this guise that he met the group to which he would later on adhere when the first few Franciscans were on their way. And of course, Lisbon was a capital in those days of travel and of the exploration of the world by sea, which was begun by the likes of Vasco da Gama, who is buried in the monastery there of the Jerome's in Lisbon, a magnificent monastery, which is a parish which has the traditional Mass today. Either way, St. Anthony was in the Cathedral of Lisbon when these Franciscans showed up asking for hospice. And so he put them up and accompanied them and did all he could until it was time for them to sail to Africa, where they were to go to Morocco. And several months later, the bodies of these same Franciscans were brought back, the relics. They were the first Franciscan martyrs. This led St. Anthony to abandon all his riches, and canons in those days were very rich. Not today, we don't have two dimes to rub together, but in those days they were very rich. And he joined the Franciscan order. As such, he was put on a ship to go to, he wanted to go to Morocco too. Well, God didn't want him to go to Morocco. His boat got lost because of storms, and he ended up in Sicily, in Italy. And there he was sent to the northern part, to Assisi, where he was to meet St. Francis of Assisi, before he died in 1226. St. Anthony then joined the Franciscans. He was very quiet. He was already a great preacher and teacher. He is a doctor of the church, after all. And when one occasion came that there was an ordination, and the preacher of the ordination of the Mass was held back or got sick or died or something and didn't show up, the bishop in the procession looks to St. Anthony and points to him and says, "You shall preach today." And so he did. And he did it in such a magnificent way that he never stopped preaching till the end of his life. He was made great preacher of the order, and he went all over the place. And it was in that regard that he ended up in Padua for the last 2 or 3 years of his life. In the meantime, miracle upon miracle followed till his death in 1231, just 5 years after the death of St. Francis. So in a very short time, he was able to accomplish quite a bit. In my life, I have been to his shrine, and Padua is right across the lake, so to speak, from Venice, which is my favorite Italian city after Florence. And one always has to go through Padua in order to go through Venice. And so we have been there many, many times to the wonderful shrine of St. Padua in Padua, where one could, if the occasion arises, see his skeleton. He is not incorrupt. But there is one thing that is incorrupt. He was a great preacher. His tongue is incorrupt as if he had just died. And it's still beautiful and soft and pink as if he were alive. And I have been able to have some of my relics and things touched to him. But today also is a very important day. A few years ago today, my family and I were at this time of the evening in Rome, sitting around in the balcony where in front of us was unfolding a magnificent procession in honor of St. Anthony. The parish across the street from the seminary, from the college, was the parish of St. Anthony, run by their Rogationist fathers, founded by St. Anibal, I forget what his last name was, either way, St. Anibale. And every year they had a magnificent procession. Now, just to show you how things are in Rome, in the parish of St. Anthony there in Rome, they had 100,000 families. And every year the priest went forth, as is the custom there, to bless the home of every single family. Now, by this time, there were some who had turned away from the faith. So the priest got the doors slammed on their face and so forth, but they did it anyway. And of course, this was also a seminary for the Rogationists, so they have many priests, seminarians. And during Lent and Easter, which is the customary time for blessing homes, they bless homes. But it was a very, very wonderful procession with all the bells and smells, as it were. But in the meantime, there was this very young seminarian, a deacon already, who was preparing for the next day, because the next day was to be the day of his ordination to the priesthood. A wonderful, wonderful occasion which shall be forever in our memory. And we sat around and we prayed to St. Anthony and we waved to the priests, including one of the priests from the seminary who was named Anthony, who is now deceased. And we honored the great St. Anthony of Padua. And so today, I look back on that night where I was preparing for my ordination to the priesthood. That is one of the most important nights of any priest's life. And so it was a very wonderful and very special occasion. My parents were there, my dear spiritual sister, Aunt Elizabeth Barocco was there, and many other people from Miami and Texas and Pensacola, most of which are dead. Some of them, they're just now adults at last. But anyway, many, many things have happened since then, and little did I know that I was to end up here in this parish and in this shrine of Our Lady of Fatima, which, of course, is the primal devotion of my whole life since I was 4 years old and made my first communion. And I was given a beautiful bas-relief plaque of pewter and mother of pearl of Our Lady of Fatima, which sits above my bed in my bedroom. And since then, I keep up with it because that's the way we were done. It was done traditionally. I'm sure most priests today don't do it, and that's a terrible, horrible thing. But I keep up with all the masses I have said. I can look back and know where and what altar I said mass in any particular day since my ordination. And by tomorrow, my ordination day, I will have celebrated nearly 20,000 masses. That's a lot of masses. And so I hope and pray to God Almighty that they may serve me some good and serve the church as we beseech Almighty God for the end to the troubles of the church in these days and to all the heresies about which St. Paul speaks, about the itching ears and their fables. But I'm not sure which one this is or tomorrow, but it's nearly or maybe over 20,000 masses. Deo gratias. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.